Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
The other night, I took my family to a restaurant that is themed out like Home Alone, and it was slam-packed. And the reason people want to go see stuff like that is because Home Alone has become such a Christmas classic. And the reason it's a Christmas classic is, one, it's funny, but two, it's infused with hope. No matter what Kevin goes through, you're watching with the hope of everything working out for him. If the movie was like just the bad guys show up, break into the house and kill Kevin, we wouldn't be eating at a restaurant themed out like Home Alone, but it's got a lot of hope to it. This morning, I want to talk to you about the power of hope. I want to talk to you about how to find hope. I want to talk to you about how to keep hope. And I want to talk to you about how to build hope. And we're going to start with a place in Scripture found in Matthew, the first chapter. It's the Christmas story as we know it. But there's something in this particular passage that I want you to get a hold of this morning, because it's going to be the ribbon around the package that holds this entire message together. So in Matthew, the first chapter, starting in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet when the prophet said this, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Can somebody just say God with us? That's the ribbon I want you to hold on to. That's the part that's going to pull this entire sermon together. A few years ago, they started placing this small little device inside of tires to gauge the air pressure. You know what I'm talking about? There's a sensor in there, and it'll show you how much pressure you have in your tires. And if the pressure drops below a certain amount, this light will pop on, and the light is a signal that, hey, you should probably check some things out. How many of you know when something pops up on your dash, it's usually a good idea to say, hey, let's at least examine the situation? I know some of you, your check engine light comes on, and you just put like a little Sharpie over it, like it's just going to disappear. Did you know problems don't just disappear because you ignore them? So when that signal comes on, it's saying, hey, there's possibly something going on with your tire. A couple of weeks ago, I hopped in my truck, cranked it up, and lo and behold, that light popped on. And so I got out and checked it out, and I was only a couple of PSI off, and the reason it had adjusted is because the temperature changed. You know that temperature will affect the air pressure. You know, if it's a little cold outside, the pressure may drop, but as you drive and things begin to warm up, then it comes back to normal. But sometimes that sensor is telling you there's a very significant problem that needs to be addressed. As a matter of fact, one time, Randy, who's our worship pastor, and myself, we were driving up to North Carolina for a meeting. And as we got on the highway, people were like waving at us. And so I'm like looking back, I'm waving at them, and then they're like pointing at us. And I'm like, Randy, I need help. You wave at those people, I wave at these people. And I'm like, man, the Carolinas have the most friendliest people in the world. But we found out later that they weren't waving to say hello. They were waving to say, hey, dummy, you've got a flat tire and you're flying down the interstate. So thankfully, we pulled over and we got everything checked out. But if you drive on a flat tire too long, it could become very dangerous. I think the metaphor of the tire is a great way to look at the hope in our life. See, sometimes your hope can be full. But sometimes your hope is affected by the seasons you go through. Life changes can affect your hope. And then sometimes your hope runs flat. The problem is, if your hope runs flat too long and you don't address it, it could be very dangerous. Hope is so important. I want you to understand this, that hope is what holds everything together. Turn to the person next to you and say, hope holds it all together. Now turn to the person on your other side who's your second choice and say it like you mean it. Hope holds it all together. This morning I walked into my living room and we have all of our Christmas trees connected to Alexa. And you heard me right, Christmas trees, plural. We have one in almost every room of our house. And so I walk into the living room, I'm like, hey Alexa, turn on the Christmas tree in the living room. Because I love just having a Christmas tree up. I love the beauty of it. I'm the type guy, I told my wife, like, I would leave it up all year. I just like looking at it. And so I'm admiring the beauty of our Christmas tree, the lights, the ornaments, and all that stuff. And I realized that without that base at the bottom, it doesn't matter how pretty that tree is or how well decorated that tree is, it's not going to stand. See, it's that base. You know what I'm talking about? That little thing that you put the tree in, that's what holds the tree up. That's what holds everything together. Without that being in place, the lights don't matter, the ornaments don't matter. And I started thinking, that is how our hope functions. It holds everything together. It is hope that holds on to our peace and our joy in difficult situations. But more than just holding on to peace and joy, hope is what makes our faith effective. I need you to see this. Because if you have faith without hope, your faith will be useless. Hebrews 11:1, the Bible says, now faith is the assurance of things, say it, hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So let's deal with faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is what makes impossible things possible in your life. But faith alone is not enough. We know that faith needs works, but beyond works, faith also has to attach itself to something. And that's where hope comes into play. See, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So if I don't have any hope, then I have nothing for my faith to attach itself to. I have no necessary ingredient there to pull all this thing together. So faith needs hope. I'm wanting you to understand how valuable hope is in your life. I'm wanting you to understand why you cannot afford to lose hope. You can afford to lose a lot of things in your life, but you cannot afford to lose hope. What is hope? It's the confident expectation that things can change. So a hopeless feeling is a confident expectation that nothing's going to change in my life. Hope has power, but hope has to be built on the proper foundation. Let's go back to that tree. You don't set up your tree and put it on that stand and then just build it on a bed. You don't take that tree and build it on a couch. Why? Because that's not a stable foundation. That thing's going to crash. Can I just say sometimes our hope crashes because we're building it on the wrong foundation? We're not building it on something steady, on something firm. If we want things to flourish in our life and stand and remain through storms, then we've got to make sure that we are built on the right foundation and that our hope is firmly planted. It has to be on something that is constant and does not change. And there are two things in this world and in eternity that do not change. Do you know what those are? Number one is who God is. The second thing is what God has said. Those things will remain the same. The Bible says in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verse 6, God says, I'm the Lord. Guess what? I don't change. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? I don't change. I am constant. And then the book of Isaiah says, the grass withers and the flower fades. I started thinking about that. Grass changes, right? How many of you during the summer you have green grass, during the winter it becomes brown? Why? Because grass is subject to change. Flowers are subject to change. You take them, they could be beautiful, you put them in a vase, and over time they start to wither. The color starts to change. It's subject to change. Everything in life is subject to change, except God and His Word. So the grass withers, the flower fades, but God's Word stands forever. See, if I'm not building my hope on that foundation, then when life changes, my hope will be affected. It's like the air pressure in the tire that is changed by its external environment. When it gets cold, things begin to drop. And that's how life works. Because how many of you know life happens? Unexpected things happen. And if my life and my hope is built on things that change, then when they change, so will my hope. See, if I build my hope on a relationship, then what happens when that relationship changes? Think about that. I said this in the first service, but I want to say it again. Like, I love my wife. It is my desire and expectation that we will remain together as long as we are on this earth together. That is my desire. That is my aim. That is my goal. That's what I work towards. But there's no guarantee that one day she doesn't wake up and go, I'm just tired of that joker. And I wouldn't blame her, because I get tired of me too, you know what I'm saying? But you understand what I'm saying? There's no guarantee that one day she doesn't say, I'm out. Now, what happens if my entire hope for my future was built on that relationship? When she goes, so does my hope. What about building your hope on a job situation? Many of you have probably experienced that in your life, that jobs change. They come, they go. If your hope is built on a career, then if your career changes, your hope is going to be affected, and you can go through every aspect of your life. Anything that you build your hope on that is subject to change, then when that changes, your hope is going to be shaken. But as long as your hope is built on something firm, unshakable, and unchangeable, then it doesn't matter what you go through, you stand, and you stand with peace, and you stand with confidence. I need you to understand Jeremiah 29:11. Watch what the Bible says. This is a very popular verse, but I don't think many of us grasp the gravity of what the Word of God is trying to say to us. Watch this. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know, this is God speaking to His people. God is saying, I know the plans I have for you. Turn to the person next to you and say, God's got a plan for your life. As jacked up as your life may seem right now, God's still got a plan for it. And He says it's not a plan for evil, but a plan for good. So I have to understand that not only does God have a plan for my life, but it's a good plan for my life. And I've learned that God can make things a lot better than I can make them for myself. And He says, plans for welfare and not for evil. Why? To give you a future and a hope. There it is. God's got a plan for my life, and that plan includes an amazing future. So it doesn't matter what I walk through, I'm not shaken because I've got my eyes fixed on the future that God is calling me into. Even when I walk through unexpected situations, I can walk through with hope, knowing that God has a future and a hope for my life. That's tremendously valuable for us to shift the way we think. Because if you don't understand that there's a plan and a good plan, then when things around you crumble, you're going to crumble. Why are you going to crumble? Because you allow your hope to crumble. I've got to understand God is involved in this thing we call life. I'm not in this thing on my own. And even if I walk through painful seasons, I can walk through it knowing that everything is going to work out okay. And my words have to come into alignment with what I'm hoping for. Very important. Your words have to come into alignment with what you are hoping for. Watch what Hebrews says right here. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our what? Hope. Without wavering. For he who promised is what? Faithful. There's the firm foundation that God is faithful. And because God is faithful, I've got hope, and I'm going to talk about my expected hope and not my current situation. A lot of times we sabotage our life by what we say over our life, not even realizing. See, faith is powerful. Somebody say faith is powerful. Faith attracts things into your life. But here's the problem. Faith in the wrong direction will attract the wrong things into your life. The reason we so easily attract the negative things into our life is because we firmly believe it to be true. This isn't going to work out. We're making a confession of our doubt. This is going to be the end. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. See, I've got to flip that, and I've got to bring my words into alignment with what I'm hoping for. I've got a foundation. God is good. God is faithful. And so now I'm going to start talking about the goodness and the faithfulness of God, that even though I walk through valleys, and I will walk through valleys, I don't walk through in fear because God is with me, and I am confident in that. See, hope. Please hear this. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is a confident expectation. But it's not a confident expectation in thinking everything's going to go my way. Because how many of you know things don't always go your way? You come up with a plan. And the plan doesn't work out. You have an expectation of how life's going to look, and it doesn't work out that way. So my expectation, my confident expectation is not in the fact that I believe everything's going to work out the exact way I feel it should work out. My confident expectation is knowing that no matter how it works out, God is still faithful and in control. There's a story in 2 Kings of this woman. She can't have a child. And Elisha comes to her house, and he tells her, God told me that you're going to have a baby. And she says, hey, don't do this to me. Don't get my hopes up. Why? Because her hope had been crushed. Don't get my hopes up just for me to be let down again. And he said, I'm telling you, about this time next year, you're going to hold a baby boy in your arms. What happens? She gets that baby boy. But as that baby boy gets a little bit older, he's out working one day and he starts getting sick. And he ends up dying. That's a terrible situation to be in. And so the mom goes out and she wants to find Elisha, the one who said, here's what God has told you is going to happen. And as she's making her way to Elisha, Elisha sends his servant to her and says, hey, go ask her, how's the family? How's the husband? How's the son? And she responds with this, it is well. Three powerful words. It is well. Not because it looked well, not because she knew how the story was going to end. See, when we read scripture, we have the luxury of hindsight. We know how the story is going to end, but she did not know how it's going to end. So she was not saying it is well based upon the fact that she really felt like her son was going to come back to life. She was saying it is well because I know God is in control. God is faithful and his word always comes to pass. So it is well, not based upon everything going my way, not based upon everything working out the way I feel like it should work out. See, sometimes we get so frustrated with God because he's not following our game plan. Have you ever been there before? God, I told you, here's what I want you to do, X, Y, Z, and you got to do it in this order. And if it doesn't happen by this time, then it's not going to work out. I thought I thoroughly explained it to you. And when it doesn't work out, we get frustrated. And God's sitting up there going, I'm in control. I know what is best. And even if that means you having to go through some uncomfortable situations, I promise you, if you'll just hold on and keep your hope, I will bring you to the other side. And here's the beautiful thing about getting to the other side. When you're on the other side, it's easy to look back and go, wow, God was truly faithful. I didn't see him at work, but now I know he was working. Did you know Joseph in scripture, not Mary and Joseph, but the Joseph that was back in Egypt? When we're introduced to him, we're introduced to Joseph as being his father's favorite son. Joseph had a pretty good life. And nowhere along the way did he expect his brothers to turn their back on him. I mean, if Joseph would have written his story before his story was completed, it probably would have looked a lot different than the actual story we get to read. Nowhere in his imagination would he have thought that his brothers would turn their back on him. He probably did not have it in the game plan to get thrown into a pit. Joseph did not expect to get sold into slavery. Joseph did not expect to get falsely accused and thrown into prison. None of that was on his radar. But at the end of his life, he says, let me tell you something. Here's what I've learned. God is working it all together for my good. See, that's where hope is grounded. That no matter what I go through, God is working it together for my good. And he reflects on his life and he sees God was faithful in every season I walked through. And every season I walked through prepared me for the future he was calling me into. See, that's where hope comes alive. That even though I walk through it, I know he's got a future he's calling me into. My only job is to hold on to hope and attach that hope to some faith and then just get out of the way. Do what I can do, but at some point in time, I've got to trust that God can do what only he can do. I've got to allow sometimes my perspective of life to shift and change. I think so many people get frustrated with church and God because they feel like they've been sold this bill of goods that if you give your life to Christ, everything's going to be great. And nowhere in Scripture does it tell you that everything's going to be great this side of the earth. Jesus, as a matter of fact, says, hey, guess what? In this life, you're going to have some trouble. But take heart. You're going to have some pain, but take heart. You're going to walk through challenging situations, but take heart. Don't lose hope. Why? Because I've already overcome the world. I've got a plan for your life. I've got a future for your life, and I'm going to pull you into it. This morning, I want you to get some hope. I want your words to start coming into alignment with the hope that God has for you, that I've got a future. This situation I'm going through, I don't like it, but I've got a future beyond it. This is just a season and not a life sentence. Did you know when I took that car, remember I was talking earlier about the car with the flat tire? When I took it to the shop, do you know what they did? They gave me a new tire. They didn't say, oh, we got to total this thing. because the tire's gone flat. But sometimes that's how we treat our life, that one moment and one instant is just going to, it's all over from here. I need you to know it's not all over from here. There's a future for you. There's a hope for you. And although you may feel helpless, you are not hopeless. Please hear that. Because in life, we're going to go through things where we feel helpless. Have you ever felt that way? Like, I've done everything I can do. It's just not working out. I don't know what else to do. That's okay. You're not meant to carry every load and every burden on your own. You may feel helpless, but you're not hopeless because there's always someone there with you. Several years ago, when I was a kid, I went skiing, and I used to like to get off the main trail and go through the woods. It just seemed like more fun to me. I don't really do that anymore. Age brings wisdom. Well, I'll take that back. So a couple weeks ago, I went skiing, and I actually decided I'm going to go do this again just to prove I can. And the trail ended with a jump, and my kids are behind me, and I'm thinking, oh, God, I got to stick this thing. And thank the Lord, I stuck the landing. But I was like, okay, that's it for me. I'm retiring from the jump life. But when I was a kid, we used to go through the woods all the time. And this one particular time, I was going through the woods, and I didn't know where the trail was going to come back to the main path. And so I just keep on going aimlessly through the woods, and as I'm skiing, the snow's getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and the deeper the snow gets, the less control I have. And so as I'm skiing, I come up to this tree, and one of my skis, I guess, clips the tree like that. And when I clip the tree, I stop and I sink. So now I'm in snow, chest deep, and I can't move. And I can't get my skis off. So now I'm basically locked in this position. It was a very helpless feeling. I was there long enough to where my body started to ache, my head started to ache. I don't know if it was hypothermia, but hindsight, it possibly was. Hypothermia starting to settle in. And I felt very helpless in that moment. I did what I could. I tried. I tried to get myself out. But there's things in life you just can't get yourself out of. The good news is I had a friend who was skiing with me, who had gone ahead of me. And when he got down to the bottom of the mountain, he realized I wasn't there. And so he came up and he retraced our path until he came across me in the snow. He helped me out and he got me down the mountain. The reason I wanted to start this message today with that Christmas story is to get you to the very end of it where it says, he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. What that means is no matter what you walk through, you're not walking through it alone. You may feel alone, but you're not alone. You may feel helpless, but you're not hopeless, because Jesus is an ever-present help in time of need. And that really is the story of Christmas. The story of Christmas is that God left the comforts of heaven to step onto this earth in flesh to be with his creation. But he didn't stop there. Because through his death, burial, and resurrection, he's not just God with us. He is now God in us. That means everywhere I go, he is there. Every dark valley I walk through, he's there. Every bit of pain I feel, he's there. Every uncertain moment, he's there. At night when you're laying in bed and your mind is running a million miles per minute because you don't know how things are going to work out, you need to know he is there with you. And if you'll just shift the burden from you to him, he can carry what you cannot carry. He can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And he'll start to lighten the load as you come to this understanding that my life really is in his hands. And everything is working together for my good. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.